Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Different Strokes for Different Folks, to find common ground and take it to the next level with David Clark here on Blog Talk Radio. Each week, the show will encourage you to keep an open mind and prepare to open the door to new understandings. We will have an exciting array of diverse guests who will point up the fact that we are all spiritual beings having a human experience. Now your host, David Clark.
Welcome. I'm a spiritual adventurer, and I suggest you become the same. As has been said, this show will encourage you to keep an open mind and prepare to open the door to new understandings. It's my hope that you will come to see that despite our seeming differences, we're all basically the same. Now, you may not agree with things that are said, or perhaps you will. What I'd ask you to do is keep that mind open. This way, you can see where you can find common ground so that you can relate rather than compare yourself with others. Now, today, my special guest is a return guest, Brenda Pierce. She's been on my show a couple of times before. She's an innovator. She's an RN of 30 years. She's an author, a healer, a speaker, a dreamer, and a consummate radio host. She has learned to live life from a balanced perspective. It was during a hands-on healing session that occurred a little over a decade ago that her life began to transform. That hands-on session broke through blocks in her own life and opened the door to greater discovery, awareness, and peace. The hands-on healing session happened while working at her local hospital as a staff nurse. It happened at a time when life was at the lowest point in her marriage, when the day before her husband had thrown his wedding ring at her. The hands-on healing gave her a sense of peace in a storm of uncertainty and gave her the tools to navigate through the storms of life. She is now a Reiki master, teacher, and has studied several other modalities. She's an advocate for integrative medicine and feels there's a place for complementary therapies in our world of healthcare today. Now, the website for integrative choice is www.peoplesrim.org, and her new network site is www.efactorlive.com. And her book site is B. Pierce, and Pierce is spelled PERCERAIWIX.com/purchase-book-today. So, if for any chance you missed those things, you can go back and listen to the podcast. Her radio site is incredible. She has a lot of wonderful hosts on it, including me. So with that said, I'm going to welcome Brenda. Brenda, once again, how are you today?
I am wonderful, David, and it's so wonderful to be here again on your show. And, you know, we have some great connections between the two of us, and it is a pleasure to have you on my media network, and which is under repair right now. So you can go there and sign up for the newsletters right now, but we have something wonderful coming in the next 2 months, which is a re-releasing of this beautiful efactorlive.com site, and be repackaged, rebranded. And David, you are going to be absolutely amazed when you see how it turns out.
Oh, that's wonderful. It's always nice to update. Just to let people know, Brenda also is carried on my radio site, which is freespiritbroadcasting.com. And if you ever want to check out the other hosts on that show, there are several, so feel free to check that. And her podcasts, as well as mine, are also stored there. And with that said, I want to talk to you a little bit about integrative medicine, because we haven't really talked about that before. And I'd love to hear about the complementary therapies that you think would be very helpful in our healthcare world today?
Oh, absolutely. Interesting. I'm so glad that we're going to be talking about this because I just picked up a book last night by Dr. Michael E. Platt. And he talks about, his book is called Adrenaline Dominance, A Revolutionary Approach to Wellness. That's an American book. I'm up here in Canada. We all have healthcare systems that are, great at emergency medicine, but may need a little bit triage on the back end, so to speak, because there are things that even with our system up here, universal healthcare, we're modeling where everybody has access and nobody has to pay anything more above basic care and that sort of thing. So we live in a time when it's really interesting that people are re-embracing or really looking at alternatives or integrating what was otherwise considered alternatives and mainstreaming them because there is great relevance to today's world and our healthcare system to help to unburden it and help to empower us to live our fullest life experience and really get to the root cause of different issues that we may be living with. So I'm really stoked that you want to have this discussion.
Well, I had a pain management expert on the other day who believes that all physical disease and mental disease stems from unresolved emotional and mental issues. And more people are coming to the conclusion that disease is primarily manifested by dis-ease within oneself. A lot of doctors, including Dr. Bernie Siegel, who's going to be on my program on February 12th, maintain that we all have the inherent capacity to heal ourselves. It's not the doctors that heal us. It is us. And he gives an example of a woman who thought she was on chemotherapy, and she wasn't, and she actually responded, and her tumors disappeared. So that's interesting, too. It just reminds me of mind over matter and how when we have faith that we can heal, it happens. And I'm not going to suggest that people who've been advised they should have chemotherapy necessarily go that route, but faith plays a major role. So let's talk a little bit about some of those things.
Absolutely. Yes, I think honestly, very strongly, we have the power in this moment of now. Now is the moment, magic moment of creation, and we can create a life of heaven or a life of hell just with a blink of our thinking. We can throw that switch. And so it is really, really possible that we really have to understand how really powerful we are in our own directions that our lives take. Now, sometimes things like accidents happen and that throws a switch and we have no conscious creation of an accident, so to speak, if we're a bystander in a car walking across the street. Some people talk about that as being a karmic experience it just is our life expectancy is our mission here on earth is done. But that may be so, when our time comes. I can't quote the luminary that shared this, but we have three exit points in our life. We have the choice three different times to leave if it so chooses us to leave. So these opportunities, when you think back, they kind of hit you when you realize, yeah, I could have left then, but here I am, I'm still here. So when you cross over a point like that, it gives you pause to kind of really look and examine when you've had that near-death experience or you've actually have crossed over and experienced the other side and come back. It leaves you in a state of grace that makes you realize that, look at things differently. For instance, people who've had heart attacks and come back after heart attack and they have to take all kinds of, lifestyle change training and things like that. But they have the option through that to really reinvent their life to be healthy or they can continue on doing what they were doing beforehand and risk a second heart attack or something like that. So, you know, so lifestyle choices, mindset definitely, and also our knowledge that we have the right to choose how we want to live. And those three big things are key components, I think, to living our fullest, healthy life experience. And then there are other things, too. And as we talked about, because our health system, and like this Dr. Michael Platt also says, the health care system is broken, evidence-based health care medicine is broken. Because when you do a double-blind study for whether it's a treatment or a medication or whatever it is, even though it's a double-blind study, which would signify that it would be probably neutral in comparison, the results of the control group and the non-control group. But what also happens is, though, depends on who's paying for that double-blind study, the results can be swayed and to the benefit of whoever is paying for that study. So that tells me that that does leave great room for error. And, you know, and up here in Canada, we just had a massive law passed that was called Vanessa's Law. Vanessa's Law is passed, which will actually put the world's strictest penalties enacted by the Minister of Health for Canada on the pharmaceutical companies for any misrepresentation of drugs that are put into the Canadian healthcare system. So we're looking at major millions and millions of dollars per day and jail time, because there is pharmaceutical companies basically create the drugs. They put a lot of money into R&D. A lot of miracles have happened because of medications, but a lot of misuse of medications has also occurred too, and false, you know, a lot of unalignment or misalignment because a drug may not be working in another country. Well, let's put it to Canada here and we'll try it out here, or we'll change the reason we use a certain drug. And so Vanessa was a 16-year-old beautiful girl 14 years ago or 15 years ago who dropped dead because in front of her own father because she was misprescribed a medication which threw off her electrolyte balance. And that started this her father, Terrence Young, who is a member of parliament for Oakville here in Ontario. And he looked into this because when the doctors were over his daughter in the ER, they kind of let it out of the bag that she was misprescribed something. And, you know, to have a beautiful 16-year-old child in the prime of their life with all the potentials drop dead in front of you can be nothing less than lead to a mission to kind of uncover what else is going on in our healthcare system. So I'm part of a group that is truly celebrating the fact that Vanessa's Law has now passed and has received royal assent, which is the our way of passing laws here in Canada because we are under the parliamentary system, English parliamentary system. So Terrence Young really went to town, and he found the what was going on, and this bill C-67 is a true testimonial that people can raise their concerns and have be advocates for their own health. And so my role with PRIM, People's Right to Integrative Medicine, I see this as a real mission because obviously if people are being damaged and hurt by our traditional healthcare system that we've put our faith into, our tax dollars and everything else, then we have to also look at what else can we do to enrich our lives. And the thing is, many people these days are really embracing integrative health practices like Reiki to reduce pain, fear, and anxiety, hypnosis to overcome addictions and chronic conditions. Let me see, what else? Thermography is a huge one. In this day and age where breast cancers in men and women are escalating, we are being told we need to go and get mammograms and things like that. But those mammograms put people at a risk because they irradiate tender tissue and squish tender tissue can create damage and lead to possible tumors and breast cancers. So thermography is a beautiful, wonderful way to use infrared light technology to focus on tissues and really see where the light absorption, heat absorption is in the body. And it does not cause, it's non-invasive, very safe, very highly effective. And the thermograms are actually read by medical doctors and then can lead to further diagnostic tests like ultrasounds versus invasive surgeries and things like that. So that's just touching a tip on it, David. And I'm sure you can agree with me that there's quite a conundrum going on here that people need to be aware of.
Yes, I would certainly say so. You've raised a lot of significant issues, and, you know, it certainly is a lot of food for thought. I just wanted to let you know we do have a caller on the line, and for anybody else that's listening today, if you want to call in and speak with Brenda, please feel free to do so. She's certainly willing to take calls. I'd like to talk just a little bit more before we go to the caller, so I'm asking the caller to please be patient, and thank you for calling in. I would like to talk about dreams, because you identify yourself, amongst other things, as being a dreamer, and I am too. And I dream the impossible dream. I dream wonderful dreams for myself. I think of the song, "When You Wish Upon a Star, Your Dreams Come True." And when I was a child, I believed every word of that. And somewhere along the way, I lost faith for a while. But I'm finding in my life, and I trust you are too, that having shifted gears and starting to have transformed my life, as you have, that my energies have become aligned in a positive direction so that I am beginning to manifest a lot of desires of the heart, which seem to be aligned with also being of benefit to others. And I think that that's also perhaps an important notion to come into play when you hope to manifest desires that are not self-centered. I do believe that we're in this world to serve others through our life's purposes as well. So I wondered if you would be willing to talk a little bit about dreams, and we do have another caller, so that's wonderful. We will take the calls probably in about 10 minutes.
I love dreams. How many of us have dreamed of being princesses, astronauts, firemen, doctors, astronomers, sailing ships, whether it is as a captain or a pirate? You know, we had all those dreams as children, and then we get kind of into the school system. And sometimes we don't measure up, or we're told, or we're compared, or we're ostracized, or whatever. And then we start to put our dreams away, and then we become overcome with, okay, so what is your career path going to be? And the career path doesn't necessarily always align with the dream path. When you go from the traditional perspective of you got to get a 9-to-5 job or a job, what are you going to train for? And then that pressure goes on to our young, beautiful children. And then all of a sudden they look at their dreams and go, well, I can't be a game programmer. I have to be an accountant. Or the pressures of family, or the economics of our homes, our families, structures, and communities sometimes dictate where our lifestyle goes. But the thing is, though, we can access our dreams. Nobody can steal them from you unless you decide to give them up. So when I got into 12 years ago, whenever it was that I found Reiki, I was in my mother mode, and I was in my job mode, and I was in my wife mode, and I was in my all the modes that were kind of keeping me away from this dream that I had of helping the world be a better place. And so when somebody said, well, what was that dream to do, and how would you go about that at that time, my dream was put away, and so I didn't have a perspective as to how that was going to happen. But what I did was, when I found Reiki, and that is an amazing story, people can listen to that from previous interviews and that sort of thing. But as a nurse, a 3-minute hands-on healing in my place of work changed my life forever and opened up that door to allow me to go, what else is possible? What if my dreams start to emerge again? Because as a nurse, giving out medications and treatments and following doctor's orders and working shift work and all the accountability that goes with being in that role was pretty, pretty strict and prescriptive. But when Reiki came into my life and I started to understand that there's more to being a nurse and a healer than potions and pills and that sort of thing, but my hands can be a channel for greater consciousness and good and help others to feel better and share that message of hope. And then it progressed to running a teleseminar series and radio broadcasting. And now I'm getting into web TV and online on-demand media networking and that sort of thing, and helping others to see that they can take their dream onto the world stage. I mean, dreams are powerful, people. The most potent magic we can have is a dream.
What would you suggest to people that have lost sight of their dreams, that have gone down the path of expectations of others, that feel stuck in their lives? Perhaps they've fallen into a victim mentality. What would you do to encourage them to resurrect dreams or to dream new dreams for themselves? And how can people go about manifesting their dreams?
Yes, this is the really secret sauce. So we all can, in this moment right now, we all, no matter whether you are in pain or you're living in a painful environment or you are hating yourself, the first thing to do is love yourself. Because love, once you start to love yourself, and you know this yourself, David, you've been through so much, that turns things around in almost a heartbeat. Because when you are in a relationship, the love you receive from anybody else is in measure to the love you have yourself. So if you are in a difficult relationship or you're not having the love of your life in your life, then you have to love yourself first, because otherwise you're a lonely person, just an open vessel for whatever wants to step in. But when you start to love yourself, then you take control and mastery of yourself, and then you can start to live, receive that love that you deserve because you love yourself. It's like if you have a dog or a cat given to you and you don't love it, then it doesn't feel loved. It becomes angry, it becomes cranky, it becomes open to abuse, which we don't want anybody to be abused or any animal to be abused. But I think we all know of situations where somebody kind of shrinks or cowers away. And that is a sad place to be. And it mirrors your relationship with yourself if you're in that place of not being able to share love. Because if you love yourself, then you open yourself up to what is possible. You're opening up the funnel of the universe to give you love. And when you feel love, then you start to feel creative and your dreams start to look differently. Instead of dark and dismal, they start to take on color, and you start to dream, and you start to take then guided action on your dreams. And the guided action can lead to some wonderful things. For me, it led to co-authoring books with wonderful women from around the world and sharing messages of hope and inspiration. And that was like I always wanted to write, but I never thought it would happen until I opened up my love quotient and let my soul signature start to sing and draw to me the dreams that are now manifesting because I care to love myself first.
Well, I know that you were in a situation, in a relationship situation that had become toxic for you, at least certain elements of it. Mm-hmm. And I wonder if you would speak to people that are in relationships that have highly toxic elements, what they can do to release themselves from that. And the other thing I wanted to say is on the subject of loving yourself, if that's something that you haven't found yourself able to do in the past, I think it's very important to pick and choose the people, places, and things in your life that provide a sense of nurturing, that provide you with a sense of self-worth. Now, that's not to say that it comes from the outside, because it doesn't. But sometimes it's very helpful to surround yourself with affirming people who can teach you how to love yourself, because they reflect that love at you. And as you're able to start receiving it, you will reflect it back at them. And that's a great way to practice self-love. And I have another exercise that I'd like to give to people, aside from affirmations, which are very important tools, which need to be expressed in the now moment with an I am statement and said with as much belief as possible. For example, I am worthy of love. Try looking in the mirror and pretend that you're looking into the eyes of the child that you were, who desperately wanted love. And as an adult, or as a future version of that child, give that child all the love you can with your eyes. Try that. It works. So what would you recommend to people that are in relationships with toxic elements? What can they do to empower themselves?
Absolutely. I mean, it's like being in an airplane that's, experienced some turbulence and the air mask comes down. Before you have to put the oxygen mask on you first before you put it on the person beside you, or if they're a child or whatever. The thing is, when I was going through we had several tragic events happen in our life, and I coped and my husband didn't, and he went down through mental illness rabbit hole and very paranoid and started to not recognize us as a loving entity. Thought that I was going to mafia meetings and that I had affairs on him, which were never happening, and that, and all this sort of thing. So it was very, very difficult to watch him go through that loop. And finally, during the darkest days, I'd say, well, yes, it corresponded with the Reiki experience that changed my life. When I had the wedding ring thrown at me, and that was, he was in hospital, he was very, very much in a bad state, and I had gone to visit him, and he just threw the wedding ring at me, said, we're done, because I had to put him into getting help. And so there was great resentment. That's a very hard thing to do. But what happened was, when I experienced the 3 minutes of Reiki, it opened up the possibility of what could happen next and taught me to be to do self-care and self-love. Because I realized I couldn't help him. He had to help himself. I couldn't love him enough. I couldn't do enough. I couldn't get enough of the right medications, doctors, hospitals, or whatever to make the change that he needed to decide on himself to do. So when I came to that realization, it was I had to look at taking really good care of me, because I had 3 children. If I was sick and he was sick, what would happen to them? So I knew it was a lifeline to myself to look at myself and say, okay, it's time to take care of me. And that was Reiki. That was good nutrition. That was getting exercise. That was really understanding and opening up to the fact that there's this magnificent divine entity all around us that really does love each and every one of us. And with no exclusion, with no religious definitions or delineations or cultural differences, the same divine entity loves every one of us uniquely. When you connect with that feeling of knowing that you are not alone, then you really realize that you are able to be supported and guided, and then it's a matter of opening yourself up to what is possible, and that what is possible will start to come to you to assist you, whether it be the right people, the right relationships, the right healing modalities, the right friends, the right culture, events, whatever it is, they will come to you. It will come to you. But you have to disengage from an outcome, which means being open to receive, put your message out there of wanting to receive goodness and kindness and love in your life, and then not putting demands on it, like it has to happen tomorrow, or it has to happen with this person, place, or thing. Just being open to it, and then the magnificence of being free and open and ready to receive brings you great magnificence beyond your wildest dreams.
I think that's a really important point, that disengaging or surrendering or letting it go in the moment, and not placing any limits on God. I've heard it said, and I believe it to be true, to be as specific as you can be about your request and to put it out there, this is my request or something better, and then allow it to unfold in God's time.
Yes.
We are all children of God, and God will take care of us. And for the caller that dropped off the line, please call back. I just wanted to say that we are going to go to callers now. But if you want to listen to other shows that I've done with Brenda where she talks more about her own life experience, you can go search my archives for April and July, and she's going to be back on my show on March 16th with Michelle Mazur, who is a co-author of this book that she's done. So if you are ready for it, Brenda, I'd like to go to the callers. And we have a call from area code 210, and you are live on the air with David Clark and Brenda Pierce. What is your name, please?
Pearl.
Hi, Pearl.
Hi, Pearl. How are you today?
Doing okay. I was anxious. You know, I'm naturally, I figured out over the years that I'm a healer, but I can't heal myself. And I was wondering if Brenda could run energy on me for just a minute to kind of disconnect from any cords around me.
Okay.
Even though I've done it myself, I'm taking care of an elderly person, and I think it's starting to affect my energy level.
Mm-hmm. You brought up a very good point there, Pearl, cords. Every person, place, or thing that we, living or beyond, animals, people, we make contracts with them in this life experience whenever we come in contact with them. And so, yeah, there's these cords. And some of them are contracts from the Akashic records and karmic relationships from past and whatever else. And so they may not serve us anymore, and that holds us back as well. So cord cutting is, as you know, as you've suggested you'd like to have done, is something I'd love to do for you because, yes, I know I had to shed some cords as well in order to have more freedom. And so basically what I'd love for you to do right now, Pearl, is if you can, just sit very comfortably and take a couple nice deep breaths in through your nose and out through your mouth. Beautiful, beautiful. Okay, and that's going to help to loosen you up and just lighten you a little bit. And what I'm going to do is I'm going to call in Archangel Michael. And Archangel Michael he's known as being having the sword. And the sword is one, he is definitely available to each and every one of us, non-faith specific. But Archangel Michael, with his sword of truth, is present right now, and just lovingly ask him kindly in your heart space there, Pearl, to sever all ties, contracts, bonds, anchors, threads that are no longer serving you in this moment now, and that we will allow him to sever them once and for all. and that we are going to allow them to gracefully let them be, to disengage from all those contracts, ties, binds. And you may feel a little bit of a lightness now as he's completing all that severing. And now what we need to do is let it go. So just take a deep breath in your nose, and just when you let go with your breath, let go of all those ties and let them be and have a sense of gratitude. So take that deep, beautiful breath in and out. Now, knowing that you have had those contracts and all those cords for a long, long time, and now those edges are frayed, we're going to ask for Archangel Raphael to come in and heal them and sever and put like a healing balm all over you just to kind of heal that so those fray ends don't hurt. Because sometimes when we're holding on to negative things for a long period of time, they become so, we know we don't want them, but they're such a part of us that we can't imagine living without them. And so allow Archangel Raphael to heal that. And now what I'd love for you to feel is just angel love. Feel the angels wrapping their arms around you, their wings around you, and holding you in a state of grace. Loving you, letting you know that you are not alone, that it's okay to let go of all those things that have been holding you back. And when you're ready, I want you to just take another deep, beautiful breath in and let me know when you're back. And out.
Definitely helped my stomach issues.
That's good. Wow, that's great. One of the things I'd like to say is congratulations on letting go. And the other thing I want you to do is just make sure that you love yourself. Love yourself to be independent and free of all that yuck. And to drink lots of good, clean, fresh water, holding it and loving the water in the glass. Like send it love before you take a drink. Because if you know anything about Dr. Mikao Yusui or Dr. Emoto's work, where you can change the frequency of water by giving it love or sending it love, and it'll enrich you body, mind, and spirit.
I've forgotten that. Thank you for reminding me. Yes.
Good.
Yes, okay.
Good. Wonderful.
Wonderful.
Take care. Thank you for being
Thank
on the call.
Thank you so much.
Bye-bye.
Appreciate your work.
Thank you, Pearl.
Bye-bye. Thank you.
And Pearl, I just want to mention to you, if you are interested, once a month at present, I have Mary Lou McIntyre, who is a guest on my show. She's next going to be on February 19th. She actually reads the Akashic Records, and she maintains that 95% of our fears and phobias come from past lives and unresolved karma. And if there's anything that you feel that's blocking you in this life, you can bring that to her, and she will pinpoint the life where that trauma or karma originated and take you to it, and it can provide a release to you. So I invite you to call in. That is going to be Thursday, February 19th at 3:30 p.m. Eastern Time. And another exercise that was given to me around cutting cords, which you can do as a form of visualization and self-empowerment. I love Brenda's suggestion of working with Archangels Michael and Raphael. What was given to me by Mary Blake, who is a renowned psychic, is that you take an imaginary sword in your hand, whichever hand you are, right-handed or left-handed, and cut down each side of your body, then in the front, in the back, under your feet, and above your head. And that also can be a very freeing experience. I've tried that before. So those are some suggestions I offer to you.
Thank you so much. You know, I can do this for other people, but when it comes to me, I have the most difficult time doing it, especially since the elderly person is my mother and there are contracts involved. And some of them, it's such a deep entanglement. You know, I think in the last life I was her mother. We've had like a couple lives where we had role reversals. So I just can't seem to do it myself. So, but I really want to thank you and for your suggestions and Brenda for her work.
You're welcome. And just picture that children's story, The Little Engine That Could, because I heard you put forward a very disaffirming statement that you can't do this as hard as you've tried. And just think of The Little Engine That Could. I think I can. I think I can. I know I can. And practice that affirmation for yourself, because it's so easy to disempower ourselves. And oftentimes we don't even realize we're doing it, especially at an unconscious level. So work with that as an affirmation.
I will. Thank you so much. I'll do that.
You're welcome, Pearl. And we do have another caller on the line. Right now, on the subject of letting go, I'm going to play a beautiful song by New Thought singer Jennifer Farron. And this has to do with disconnecting from whatever no longer serves us. And it's a delightful and amusing song called Throw It All Away. So let me just play that to lighten the mood a little bit more, and then we will go to area code 646.
Trauma that can come
Jennifer Ferren, that is spelled F-E-R-R-E-N. She has three wonderfully uplifting CDs out there. If you go to jenniferferren.com, you can take a look at those. So, with that said, let's move on to area code 646. And if area code 347 is still listening, please call back. We'd love to take your call.
That was beautiful music, David.
Wasn't that beautiful?
Yes,
she's
yes.
Wonderful. She's come to perform at Unity Church locally. She used to be music director at a large Unity Church in Atlanta, and now she's a motivational speaker, and she's a singer-composer. So I like to support her. She's been a guest on my show twice, and I just love that song. It's my favorite song that she does.
Very nice.
Okay, we have area code 646 live on the air with Brenda Pierce and David Clark. What is your name, please?
This is Tony. Greetings, Brenda. Greetings, David. How are you all doing today?
I'm doing
good,
fine.
Good, Tony.
Hi,
thanks for calling.
Thank you.
Do you have a question for Brenda?
Yeah, well, I guess my question was, centering on career, so I wasn't actually sure how to phrase it.
So you want like a reading on that sort of thing?
Or just insight on, the song that you just played kind of like, was kind of like speaking to me a little bit. And, I guess it's just the topic of like, trying to, realize your dreams and,
Well, what are you doing now? What's your life looking like right now? And what is your dream?
My dream is to write for children. It was funny that the last call ended with you talking about the children's story. So that's pretty much what one of my dreams of passion are to write for children, which I've done. I mean, I've written stories. It's just a matter of like. Seeing if I'm going to find a way to publish it myself or send it to the traditional publishers, as well as, doing the day-to-day stuff with the regular, jobs that you just work at just to make a paycheck,
Yeah, yeah. Well, you obviously have your feet on the ground and your heart in the stars, and and that's great because having a dream is going to help your job career continue to have give it a special spice as you go forward. So writing is such a beautiful thing, and you've got two authors here on the line. David is how many books have you written now, David?
22, four are published.
Nice. Yeah. So you can see to get four published, you do have to write a lot of books in order to get there. But it's polishing the craft and never giving up. And, have you looked into different avenues of publishing?
I have. I mean, I've looked at the Elance in terms of, like, looking for artists, because it's a little bit different when you're doing a children's book, but that's something I'm willing to pursue as well.
Mm-hmm. That's good. So the big thing is just know and believe and trust that if you do the work, you will be rewarded for doing the work that you're doing. And, so you might want to start by, if you've got a book ready, maybe going to the local libraries in your area, and they oftentimes will have story time on Saturday mornings. Maybe volunteer to read your book to a bunch of children and see what their response is. And I'm sitting in the office of a dear friend of mine today. We've been doing some filming for web TV episodes and things like that. Sue London, and she survived a near-death experience and survived illness and everything else. And she gave back by writing a series of books based on her dog, Rocky, for the local children's hospital. And she created a coloring book and a story to help children to understand that, that they're not alone, even when they feel they are alone. And so she's inspired me, you know, in terms of what she's done from writing her own life story to writing these children's books and going to the children's hospitals and sharing their her books and messages with them. So, you know, so there's a lot of wonderful ways to get yourself out there if the niche is children's books, and just believe and never stop dreaming and just really, really know that if your heart is in the right place, it doesn't matter when the book is published, but just know that it's going to be published, and that will help you get there.
Mm. Okay,
amen.
Thank you so much. Yeah, thank you.
Tony, don't leave yet. Let me ask you this. Have you tried finding an agent to represent you?
Yeah, I actually am. Like, I've joined this children's writers group that they will, you know, help you submit to an agent, like, you know, once a month. So starting next month, I will be submitting to agents via this particular group. You know, I used them last year, and I basically was able to, you know, refine a lot of my stories, which was great because there's also a critique element of the group.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, so I guess, you know, now I feel like I can send it out to the agents, and it'd be a lot more refined and definitely polished. So, I was just, you know, looking at that as an avenue, as well as, you know, possibly, you know, finding an artist and going the ebook route.
Well, as you may know, it's very difficult to get in with a traditional publisher if you don't have an agent, and self-publishing is a route you can pursue, which I've pursued in the past, but it usually is not a lucrative route, and really, quite frankly, is designed for self-publishers to make money off the fees that they charge you. But my literary agent, who is new to me, is interested in children's books. After the show, if you'd like, I can call you back at this number and do a conference call with her, and perhaps she could offer you some encouraging words or let you know if she'd be interested.
Oh, that'd be great.
Okay, well, thank you for calling in. Unless you have any other questions, I think Brenda and I will spend the rest of the hour talking about manifestation and the role of gratitude in terms of manifesting. And feel free to continue listening, Tony. Did you have anything else for us?
Oh, no, I definitely appreciate everyone's help, and I definitely will be continuing listening. Thank you.
Much love.
Okay, and I will call you back sometime after the half hour.
Okay, great. Thanks a lot, guys.
Okay, thanks for calling in.
All right.
Well, Caroline. I've got her on the brain, and she's listening. She's probably laughing right now. Brenda, well, this has been a delightful show. What would you say about the role of appreciation and gratitude in terms of manifesting your heart's desires?
Oh, you've got to be in a great state of appreciation to manifest. And Thanksgiving is also a big piece to manifesting. You know, the thing is, it just makes you feel good, period. And when you feel good, the world looks different. You've raised the vibrational set point just by being in a state of gratitude and thanksgiving. Miracles happen in that place. And so I believe today's show is one of helping many people realize their miracles of their dreams come true. And it's been a fantastic hour to be with you, David. And I am inspired by all you do. And you are a great manifester yourself. So maybe you'd like to share a little bit of your secrets.
Okay.
Well, now they turn the tables.
That's all right. That's all right. I've traveled quite a road in my life, which has had a lot of bumps and grinds along the way. And as I mentioned to Brenda earlier, or mentioned on the show earlier, I had lost faith at one point in being able to manifest my dreams because I got caught up in the world of addiction and had lost a lot of hope. But I'd never truly lost hope, or I wouldn't be here, because I've had a few times when I could have died at my own hands or from a serious illness. And so I've had my two times, and I don't plan on having number three. They woke me up to my spirit, and they woke me up to the fact that there always was hope, and hope has led to a place of faith. And from that, I've raised my level of vibration, which I think is the first step in terms of being able to become a manifester. And one of the most significant ways I've done that, and that's why I mentioned the attitude of gratitude, is that I believe that's the gateway to opening abundance. When you can focus on the now moment and be present and be grateful for whatever is present in your life and bless your dreams with gratitude, that seems to be a key element for me in terms of manifesting. And I used to be a social worker. I retired at an early age, and then I began to write. And I had confidence that this series of books I wrote about a naughty nun were going to be bestsellers. But I went the route that is suggested, and that was to submit to publishers and to submit to agents. And I only had a few nibbles because it was such a unique niche that nobody seemed to really grab for the bait. And finally, as serendipity would have it, a literary agent by the name of Carolyn Oliveira, who is new, exciting, she's a go-getter, she called into my radio show when I had on a spiritually gifted person, because she's a very spiritual person who believes in helping others. And I just grabbed the moment, and I said, you know, I have this series of books, and quite frankly, a lot of other books out there. Is that something that you could help me with? And she said, absolutely, send them to me, and I will see what I can do. And she's made a lot of suggestions, and I'm very grateful for that, because she is a perfectionist in her own right and believes that the books need to be ready to be submitted to the publisher. So that's one thing. And I'll mention to you, Tony, I'm not sure what your books are about, but she would love to have books about angels for children. So that's something that you might want to consider for a future book, but I'm sure she would love to talk to you about books. So that is what I have to say on the subject. Do you have anything else you'd like to say, Brenda?
I just want to say yes. You just by being present and doing what you're doing, David, look what's happened. You have this beautiful literary agent, and thank you for introducing her to myself too. Michelle Mayer and I and 18 other amazing women have come together from all over the world with the Embrace by the Divine book that's going to be published this spring independently. But we have Caroline, who has been introduced to the group and loves what we're doing, and I'm so thrilled to have had that connection made by you. David, thank you from the bottom of our hearts for helping us to make our dreams come true, and it's all about being in the right place at the right time, too. So, Tony, you being here in the right place on this phone call may be the start of a wonderful and amazing new making your dreams come true. And for anyone who has dreams, whether it be, in my book, the Inner Circle Chronicles, my chapter there talks about how whatever it is that you do that you love to do, you could probably turn it into a business if you like to sew, you could probably become a great seamstress and help other people with their mending their clothes and fitting their clothes, because that's a real, you know, if that's your passion. If it is that you love coffee, you could turn that into a coffee shop if you, you know, just get the right mentors, the right people, and just really dream it into existence, and your dreams will manifest. So it doesn't have to be writing. It can be anything in your life. It can get better, and believe it to be so, and it will be.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And thank you again, Brenda, for being with us today. And you want to put forward the name of your book again?
Well, the one that's coming up is The Embrace by the Divine, and it's the women's book about purpose, passion, and power, and 20 women from all around the world sharing heartfelt stories and giving you the tools to make it happen. That's the next one, and we're looking at a mid-April release for that. I can't wait.
And where will people be able to find that?
Most likely Kindle and Amazon at first, and we have a website, which is www.embracedbythedivine.com, where you can meet the authors, you can sign up for information on the release dates, you can even order the book online. There's gifts from every one of us there for you.
Well, that's wonderful. I wish you the best with that. And from what I've heard from Caroline about the book, it's a wonderful book. So I'm looking forward to reading that myself. So thank you so much for joining me today. And it's always a pleasure, Brenda.
Absolutely. Love you. Love you and love your audience.
Love you. And I will say that, you know, serendipity is something that happens when you are present to the moment and put forward your desires. And remember that no man, no woman is an island. It's all about connection. And connections happen when you're present to the moment and just moving forward with faith. So once again, we come to a close. Now we can pause and reflect upon the idea that we are all united through the diverse tapestry of our individual gifts. There is no real thing as separation except in our own minds. We are each unique expressions of the ultimate source of our beings. We are spiritual beings having a human experience who are having a spiritual experience. Have a great week and remember, whatever you dream, you can realize.
You have been listening to Different Strokes for Different Folks. To find common ground and take it to the next level, here on Blog Talk Radio with David Clark, every Friday at 7:30 p.m. Eastern. You can listen to this broadcast again on srbroadcasting.com.
FreeSpiritBroadcasting.com. And Tony, I'll be calling you in just a moment.